News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 31st of July, Anno Domini 2004, and you lucky people. Not only is it a blue moon,
another rainy Saturday,
but you get to listen to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Ben Turchin.
There he is. As quick as we can. And we'll start with Steve, because he's bursting at the seams with this piece of information.
Yeah, we have some interesting fighting back and forth in the Apple world this week. Real Networks announced a software iTunes Music Store. Apple fired back and said, well, if they broke into our copy protection, then they violated the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, and we're going to sue them. And Real fired back and said, well, hey, wait a minute. Don't we want customers to have more choices? And so it's an argument back and forth between, you know, allowing more choices and breaking into someone else's code, and it's likely going to be the lawyers are going to be the only ones to win.
And we'll be talking about it again in the poll a little later.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the other news in the Apple community is that the new fourth generation ClickWheel iPods are now shipping. We got 10 of each into the store this week. I think we have one of each left. So they're going really fast, and new excitement over the fourth generation.
When you say one of each, the minis and the regulars?
No, there's a 20 gig and a 40 gig.
Oh, right.
Generation. And they're $100 less than the last generation. Part of that is because they don't include a lot of the accessories. There's no dock, there's no carry case, and there's no remote control. So, and that adds up to about $100 worth of stuff. But it now becomes a third-party opportunity.
Right.
There are dozens of companies now offering and selling cases for the iPod in fancy colors and patterns and the fuzzy ones the teenagers like. So it's an opportunity for third parties that you get this. You get a case with your iPod, you probably aren't going to buy somebody else's because you've already got one. So it's an interesting dichotomy that Apple includes something or they take it away and let the third parties do it. People are mad that it's not included anymore.
Right.
But the bottom line is the price is lower and everyone likes that.
Exactly. Well, good. We'll talk a little bit more about Real at the poll. Dave, what's going on with you?
Well, Microsoft, amongst many of their other lawsuits, could be facing another big one because they got quite a few ticked off people. A lot of folks that used the Microsoft Money 2004 were unable to do any of their bill paying, being the end of the month.
There's a shock, huh?
Yeah, well, and then Microsoft wanted to was referring folks to call tech service, which in the same token wanted to charge them $35 for a problem that was really Microsoft's, but they didn't want to own up to it. So right now, a lot of folks wasted a lot of time trying to pay their bills and getting locked out and being charged $35 trying to correct this problem when it was Microsoft's problem right along, are thinking about forming a lawsuit.
Well, I once had a guy from Microsoft. I got an error message that said, unknown error, blah, 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 very serious, call Microsoft tech support, and gave you the number right in the error message.
Yep.
So
and probably a special number.
And they wanted to charge me money. And I said, I don't think so. Your software told me to call.
Yep.
He said, it never does that. I said, here's the error number. He looked and said, ooh, I have to talk to my manager. The manager came online. He said, yes, you're right. It told us to call. We're not going to charge you.
Well, a lot of times we've been reading that companies that charge for tech support are all, you know, just trying to recoup some of the money in doing tech support. But if it turns out to be a software problem, you know, a bug in their software, many of them, not all, many of them, on a case-by-case basis, will refund the money they charged you at the beginning of the phone call.
Right.
The other couple quick items is Intel, the Pentium 4, 4 gigahertz is going to be delayed until later on in the second quarter of 2005, as will the newer version of beta for the next generation of Windows XP.
Yeah, it's going to be a long time before we
see that. Didn't AMD just come out with a new chip Yeah. The Duron is gone, and now it's the Centuron or something like that.
Well, it's their Celeron,
their version of the Celeron.
Yeah,
but wasn't that what the Duron was to begin with?
Yeah, but apparently not as well. No, that was a 64-bit version,
right? Ah. And now, it's going to have 256K cache with it and support up to one.
So, yeah, it used to be the Celeron was really cheap and had no cache in it and really really slow.
Well, this is going to be a little beefier, a little bit cheaper, but add more features, and they think it's going to be a good selling point. For especially with kids going back to school,
the $500 computers,
and Christmas.
All right, folks, it's going to get a lot more difficult out there to keep your system clean. There are two brand new exploits, needless to say, for Windows machines. In both cases, there's nothing you have to do. You don't have to open an attachment. You don't have to click on a file.
Just surf.
You just have to surf the web in both of these cases, and they will own your machine. Why? Because Microsoft has a task manager for if you want to put in code that runs, just task scheduler, runs every day at X amount of time, right? Those files end in .job for a task, a job. And here's the interesting thing. Internet Explorer also runs those files. Why? We don't know. But it does. It has no reason to run them. Internet Explorer is not a task scheduler. It's a web browser.
Mm-hmm. But it's an operating system.
But it, what?
It's an operating system now.
You're right. But it, in fact, will run the Windows task schedulers. So if I stick a program out there, or even call it an icon, if I call it a graphic, but it ends in .job, Internet Explorer will happily download it and run it.
Without asking you.
That's exactly right.
Yet another reason to not use Internet Explorer.
That's exactly right. If you're still using Internet Explorer after listening to this show more than twice, now's the time to change. I won't say anything rude like you deserve it, but I will say it is time now.
There are other options. You don't have to use Internet Explorer.
But that's the whole trouble. Too many folks, they pull the computer out of the box, and it's already there, and it walks them through.
If you click on a big blue
tutorial.
If you click on a big blue E to get to the internet, you're in trouble.
Yep. In addition, and it's not now. Here's where it gets a little even worse. In the Black Hat Security Conference in Las Vegas last week, a couple of guys showed the latest release of the Metasploit framework, an exploit tool designed to take over a variety of target platforms. Again, you don't have to open anything, click on anything, do anything. You just have to be running Windows XP, Windows 2000, or the Mac OS. Mm-hmm. And they can just take over. If you're connected to the network, they can take over your system. They can do it. They were demonstrating doing it from a Sharp Zorus, the little PDA that runs Linux. And boom, they owned the machines. They owned every machine they pointed at on the network, including people in the audience who had their laptops and their stuff with them. It's a pretty astonishing tool, and there's no fix for it yet. So I don't know what to tell you about these.
Give the rest of the Linux community a week, and there'll be several fixes.
Well, exactly. Well, the Linux community is unaffected by this. That's already patched.
Right.
They already can't be harmed by this.
So I wonder if they're building it. Probably the next version of BSD that the Apple uses is going to have those patches.
Well, I'm sure there'll be a patch out for it pretty shortly. You guys aren't using Portage yet, are you?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know what you're using, but whatever you're using for patching, I'm sure. Unix like operating system.
And yeah, so it's Mach BSD, so.
They just have to use the patch that the Linux people are already using. It shouldn't be that hard for them.
Yeah.
But the Windows people are in some trouble. I don't know what to tell you about this one. There is yet no fix for it. But at least for the other one, if you stop using Internet Explorer, of course, also Windows Explorer will do it. So if somebody puts one of those files on your machine or on your network, they'll own you as well. So that's the news today. And what are we doing now? We're going to go to a call. Excellent.
No, we're
going to go to a break. Look at us.
He made it.
Shows what I know. We're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Ben Church, and me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
They would run. rather do their show in a chat room. It's Sound Bites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Ben Turchin.
And this is he looks so happy to say that. I don't know why, because it's just his name and he should know it by now.
I keep wanting to say I'm just filling in for the day, but I'll just say my name.
And we're going to go right to the phones, and we're going to start with George from Fairport. Welcome, George. What's your question?
Hi, guys. A couple of weeks ago, I think you said that repeated opening up of windows and then closing windows can consume memory and cause inefficient operation of the computer. Did I state that correctly?
It's not Windows itself.
98.
Right. All of them, but the heap space is bigger in the others. But opening and closing windows See, this is Microsoft, God forbid, they thought of a real name for their operating system. Opening and closing folders and programs in Windows.
But not rebooting the computer in itself.
Rebooting the computer, in fact, fixes it.
Okay. A couple of times, sometimes I open up a secure website for confidential information, like financial, whatever, and then after I've logged out of that website, they recommend shutting down that browser or window just to make sure that there's you just can't get into it. I guess other people can't get into it. So.
Well, if someone comes to your computer and hits the back button, they're back into your financial information.
That's why it's a good idea to, get out of whether you're using Internet Explorer or whatever.
Yeah, close the program and clear your cache if you're afraid somebody might be able to physically get to your computer.
Right, so if I log out of that window and then shut down that window or that browser, then that makes it makes it difficult for anybody to get in there. But am I also consuming? Just making the use of the memory inefficient.
What OS are you actually you running?
I got Windows many years.
What processor is it? Is it a P3?
I don't know.
Because if it's a relatively new machine.
No, it's not. It's 3 years old.
All right, but if you can, I'm boot up. If it's a Pentium 3, say 350 megahertz or stronger, you can always consider going to Windows XP.
350?
Yeah.
I'd say 1,000 minimum.
We're running it on a Pentium 2, 333.
It depends on what else you want to run, too.
Yeah, but we're just running it on our test bench, as an extra test bench. But, you get it on at least a P3 350 with at least 512K of memory, and you'll love life.
Yeah, more memory can overcome a slower processor.
Yep.
Okay. Those new exploits, if I use Netscape instead of IE, does that avoid these new viruses you talked about?
You got it.
Yeah, well, it avoids one of them.
Yeah.
And a majority of them, because most of the code is all written towards people using Internet Explorer and Outlook Express.
Yeah, what other options other than Netscape are there for browsers?
Go to our website, and we've got recommendations. If you go to the Security Tango, which Nick did one kick-ass butt job on.
Okay.
Thank you. So basically, Mozilla, Opera, OmniWeb,
Firefox.
I'm using it now.
We got a lot of good recommendations. It was a lot of time and effort put on his part, and it can answer all your questions.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Okay. There you go. Thank you very much. Everybody should be dancing the tango regularly.
So many folks, though, compliment on that.
Thank you.
The job that you did on that.
Thank you.
It is. It's very logical, and even the steps and everything else, it's making life a little bit easier.
Well, we got to give much credit to my friend Bill Bateman, who helped me make it better. Our next caller, Lisa from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Lisa. What's your question?
Hi. First of all, what is your website?
Soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y.
Mm-hmm.
.org.
Yeah, .org.
Okay. I received a message telling me that my account was used to send a huge amount of spam during the week.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, your computer's been affected, infected, and a recent virus, and now runs a Trojan proxy server.
Yeah, it depends on where that message came from.
May I tell you?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's spelled SONIDOLPH@NMOL.com.
That is a virus trying to attack you.
Yeah.
But I didn't open up the attachment. I couldn't for some reason. But I did save
good.
It.
Delete it.
No, if you tried to open it,
I meant to mention, and I got lost.
If you tried to open the attachment, it's already run and it's already infected your machine.
Yeah, here's the deal, and everybody needs to listen to this. This is one of the new exploits that's going around. Mm-hmm. You get a message that pretends to be from your internet service provider or someone else, and what it says is what Lisa said. Your machine's been sending out massive amounts of spam. It's clearly infected. Click here to clean it. Well, the click here is, in fact, a Trojan and has infected your machine. Lisa, what antivirus program are you running?
Unfortunately, nothing. I had decided I didn't want my computer, and we cleared everything. Then I decided I want it, and we hadn't put anything on yet.
Okay, you need immediately to go to the Security Tango and run it from top to bottom.
Security Tang.
Or you can take it to one of the great vendors, such as we have here, or any of the good vendors in town, and they will clean it. And they can put on one of the free or sell you an antivirus program.
We really need
to do that immediately, because now you really do have a virus.
We do it on a daily basis. I mean, we're seeing so much of this, and we wind up putting adware and spybot by default on everybody's machine that comes into our shop.
What was the first thing to do?
SecurityTango.com.
SecurityTango.com.
Tango, like the dance.
Tango,
There's a series of steps there. You push the Let's Dance button, and that's a series of steps to clean out your machine. Mm-hmm. If you feel it's fairly complex for some people, for beginners particularly. Mm-hmm. So if you feel it's too complex, take it to a vendor and let them do that sort of thing for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, the last sentence of that message says we recommend you follow the instructions in the attached text file.
No.
Right,
no.
Because they're trying to trick you into infecting yourself.
By having tried to click on it and saving it, even though it did not open.
If you clicked on it, it did open.
Yep.
Okay. And it was signed virtually yours and the people I do business with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but see, they've spoofed that name, and it's not from them, believe me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I got one the other day. The support team at Jesse Group wants to tell you have a virus.
Yeah.
I am the support team at Jesse Group.
Well, the other thing is, I got into the last half of what you were saying about using Explorer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what I didn't hear is, what is it that there is no fix for? Could you tell me one sentence?
Well, yes, there are two.
Two new ones. There's hundreds of them. There's hundreds of problems with Internet Explorer allowing people to break into your computer.
Right, and there's a new one of those, but there's also a problem with XP and 2000, where as long as you're on the network, I can take over your machine.
I guess I've been taken over.
It's very possible.
Very possible.
You need to take your machine to somebody and get them to clean it up for you.
Yeah,
Thank you so much. I appreciate all your help.
It's our pleasure. Thank you. It is. It's getting tougher out there, and it used to be that you didn't need to know anything to run your system, and now you need to know a little bit.
Well, we have to each time a client comes in, they haven't used adware or spybot, is run them through it quickly to show them how to click on it, do the update, and then boom, run it.
Yeah.
And
it's like maintenance for your car. You know, you got to get the oil changed, whether you do it yourself or you pay somebody to do it, you got to get it done.
I've had a number of folks that say, well, can it do it automatically? I just tell them, well, if you click on it, you can go and pay for it. You get the updated version, and it offers a behind-the-scenes version where you can sit there.
Right, but for free, you got to do it by hand. That's your choice. Yeah. Our next caller, Tim from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Tim. What's your question?
Hi. I have Windows 98 Second Edition, and I'm getting an error on starting Windows. One is I can't find the DLL file, and the second is error loading explorer.exe. You must reinstall Windows. Now, I'm not anxious to reinstall Windows. I do have the original 98 and Second Edition upgrade disk, the boot disk to get the CD running. I also have a Windows backup.
Now, you didn't erase anything yet, did you?
I might have.
Well, then you're going to have to.
Yeah, you might have.
You're going to have to reinstall Windows over Windows.
What is the process?
All you got to do is put the CD in.
Which CD? The original?
Your Windows 98 CD.
The second edition?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And boot from that, and from the setup. You probably got a disk with it also, a 98 boot disk.
I have a 98 boot disk that I made when I put the second edition in.
All right, put that boot disk in, put the CD in, start up the machine. And it's going to say, oh, do you want to install Windows? From the menu, you say, yep. and it'll go ahead and reinstall Windows over Windows.
None
of your programs or files will be deleted as far as data or, you know, letters you've written or anything else like that. It just replaces the operating system over the operating system.
One thing to watch for, though, is that sometimes, depending on what CD you're using, it will say there's already a copy of Windows here, usually in the Windows directory. Do you want me to make a new Windows directory? And you want to say no, put it in the original Windows directory. Otherwise, it will forget about all your programs.
Yeah, watch the screen.
And the backup I have, about a week old, includes the registry. Do I need to back that up or restore the registry?
No, see, if you can, if you deleted some files...
Right, if you have a backup of your computer, you can restore your computer.
No, just the data files and the registry.
That's not enough.
No, that's not enough.
There's a Windows file or three missing.
Okay.
Can you boot into safe mode?
No.
Yeah.
Same method.
That doesn't work. Yeah. If you could boot into safe mode, you might be able to run the system file checker and replace damaged files.
So do the reinstall over.
So I put the boot disk in and the CD
and
start the machine.
You got it.
Okay.
There you go.
Thanks very much.
Have fun. Thank you very much. Our next caller, Dale from Avon, New York. Welcome, Dale. What's your question?
Good afternoon.
Hi there.
I have a...
Nope,
Dale, we lost you. You're
cutting in and out.
Are you,
there.
Like, on a cell phone? Because... I'm sorry, Dale, we lost you. You're gone.
Try calling back.
Can't hear a thing you're saying.
Yeah.
Call back...
Went dead.
Call me, yeah. Our next caller then will be Mark.
Hey, guys. I'm running Windows XP.
Mm-hmm.
Several weeks ago, while surfing the net, every once in a while, the dial-up dialog would show up.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was attacked by somebody. So I'd run Adware, ran SpyBot, the whole thing, and would be able to connect to the net. Then suddenly last week, couldn't get to the net at all.
Mm-hmm.
Checked with Roadrunner. The idea is the information's coming into the house. It's going through my wireless router. The other PCs can get it fine. But the main PC that's hardwired to the router wasn't working. Went through everything that Roadrunner could think to do with all my network settings. Got in touch with Dell. They just sent me out a new Ethernet card. Put that in. Still doesn't work.
Have you tried dancing the tango, doing the Adware and SpyBot updates, and then rerunning it?
Well,
I'd say Stinger.
I did all that before I lost internet. Now, on the PC that's not getting a connection, can't run the update because it doesn't connect to the net.
Right. Well, the Adware you can download to a floppy.
Okay.
And then put it in the Adware folder.
Okay, so I could try that.
But... It could well be that you've got some sort of virus that's trying to dial out.
That's autodialer, and that autodialer is spyware.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You've got something that's trying to dial out and has taken over the networking.
Okay.
So cleaning that out would be what you need to do.
Did you try to delete all of the settings in your network control panel and re-add them?
Oh, one of the other things you can do?
Well, I went through things with Roadrunner in regard to taking out a network connection, then letting it...
All right, take out everything in the network control panel.
No, he doesn't have to. He's running Windows XP.
Yeah.
All you've got to do is, we've got a link on our website. There is an ISP XP fix. And what you do is, it's a little utility. We mentioned it a few weeks ago. And it's the ISP patch for Windows XP. And what it is a little utility. You put it out on your desktop. You click run, you say fix. What it'll do is it erases your WinSock 32 settings.
Okay.
So then you reboot, and then it'll recreate them on boot up.
Okay. Now, that's
small file.
Enough to put on a floppy?
Yes.
That's a small file that you can put on a floppy and copy to your desktop.
Okay, I can do that.
I
figured I'd run SpyBot and Adware one more time and just wipe out everything.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard of any problems with Weatherbug doing this?
Weatherbug is
known
spyware.
Right. That is dedicated spyware.
Yeah, I knew that. I mean, I've had it on another PC with no problem at all. And then within a week of putting it on this one,
no problem you've noticed.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry, but it's notoriously rife with this stuff.
Okay.
So I would suggest you get rid of it. But yeah, try that. Try the fix thing.
All right, and your website is?
Soundbytes.org. That's bytes with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you.
I don't see it, Dave. What would we have called it?
Okay, these guys will argue about it, and if it's not up there now, it'll be up there shortly.
Okay.
Okay?
Thanks for your help.
Thank you very much. Our next caller, Carl from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Carl. What's your question?
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Great show. Listen, I have a quick question for you. You say I'm running a 2000 professional Microsoft. The Internet Explorer. Now, when I go to my Internet Explorer, I got my Google page up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would that make a difference as far as keeping stuff away? I mean, I
if you never go anywhere other than Google, no, not a problem.
As long as I stay.
You know, I'm sorry. People want some sort of loophole. There is none. Internet Explorer has more holes in it than Swiss cheese. Using it will eventually, it's like playing Russian roulette.
Okay.
You win this trigger pull, you win the next trigger pull, eventually you stop winning.
I read stories in the paper about guys that play Russian roulette with semi-automatic pistols.
Uh-huh.
Don't use those kinds of
Yeah.
But basically, there's no loophole. If you continue to use IE, this is the problem you'll get into. Now, people say, well, I have to use IE to get to my bank. Okay. Use IE to get to your bank and use Firefox to go everywhere else. How hard is that? You can have every web browser on earth running on your machine simultaneously, open simultaneously. And it's as long as you got enough memory, that's not a problem.
And it's likely other browsers will work with your bank, even though it says it requires IE.
Right.
You can other browsers often work, and in many of the other browsers, you can tell it to say it is IE.
Right. And even if it doesn't, it's fine. Go to your bank, make your bank your home page.
Okay.
And then every time you run IE, you go to your bank. And if you can't trust them, well, you're done then.
Now, if I went to, say, Firefox or Mozilla or one of those, how do I get, like, Internet Explorer still on my computer?
You don't take it out, you just don't run it.
In fact, you can't take it out. They've incorporated it into it.
Right, but you just don't run it. You make Firefox your default browser, and then from then on, every time you want to run a browser, you run that one. You can take it off your desktop if you have, well, 2000 Pro, you can't. But you can take it out of your taskbar on the bottom there if you want to.
Uh-huh.
So that only, and you can put Firefox in its place, and then you're done. There you go.
Appreciate your help.
Thank you very much.
One thing I did notice is that Windows Update requires IE.
Right. Right, but you can run Windows Update from the desktop, and then it'll go to Microsoft's site.
Right.
And you know, if you're going to send IE anywhere, send it to Microsoft's site and to your bank, and you're done. Although I don't use the web stuff from my bank because it does require IE, and I just won't use it. They're about to lose a customer. That's how that works.
Well, I just noticed in Quicken 2004 now supports Kennebago National Bank.
There you go.
And which is the bank I use. And it's nice that, you know, a local Rochester bank is in this national big company now.
Love to see that. Our next caller appears. We seem to have Dale from Avon back, do we?
You do. I'm here.
Excellent. What was the problem there, Dale?
I'm not sure. Bugging the cell phone, I think.
There you go.
Okay, my problem is I have a Sony desktop that suffers from chronic pop-up constipation, I guess.
Yeah.
Mozilla, I've been running it for a month or so. I have PCellen as my antivirus software. I've done the security tangle several times, and even if you're not working in any Internet software, the Internet Explorer pop-ups just keep coming on.
Well, you're owned by something. I don't know what off the top of my head, of course,
yeah.
But you've got some sort of problem. Now, have you run the whole security tangle starting with Stinger?
Yes, I have.
Have you done, I've got new steps at the beginning, courtesy of the great Bill Bateman.
Oh, okay.
You might want to start there. There's a whole bunch of stuff to delete and rerunning and rebooting and doing all kinds of interesting things.
Okay, and that's got its own domain name now, securitytango.com.
Securitytango.com, courtesy
right,
of the... I've ever met.
Try nailing him down if he's not here.
Yeah,
he's somewhere else.
That's true. True of so many of us. Though.
He is so busy.
He's a busy guy.
Yeah. Oh, just for that other caller, just a quick one. It was in there. It's called WinSock XP Fix for Networking Trouble. So if you scroll down just about to the bottom of our list on the right-hand side, it's labeled as WinSock XP Fix for Networking Trouble.
There you go. And that's for Mark from Fairport.
Yep.
Dale, try that.
Here, I just want to say thank you. I'll give that a try.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right.
Our next caller, Steve from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
How you doing? I've been using Firefox on my machines, and it's working fine.
Good.
When I go through all the security stuff, I have the Adware Pro, But my kids' machines seem to be picking up an awful lot of this crap on IM.
Sure.
Is this stuff being carried on IM?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How do you block it out?
It's the new...
Stop using IM.
It's the new best way, in fact, to pick it up.
Oh, yeah.
The problem is that you know, people are beginning to get a little bit savvy about web browsing problems, but nobody's getting all that savvy about IM. Now, one of the things you can do is change your IM product. There's a program called Jabber, and there's another one called Trillion. Both of them will talk to every other instant messaging program, Yahoo, ICQ, AOL Instant Messenger, Microsoft's Messenger program. But at least in the case of Jabber, and I don't know this about Trillion, Jabber will not share files with them. So you can lock that out, and then they can't get a file from somebody that causes the problem.
You know what's interesting, though? And I guess it's showing my age. But why these kids sit there and do instant messaging?
Mm-hmm.
10 or 12 windows open at the same time.
No.
That's a cultural thing. That's what's going on. I mean, there's a whole culture going on.
They're typing to their friend.
Right.
Meanwhile, they got the phone tucked underneath their shoulder, and they're talking to the same person.
Occasionally.
Yeah. Why?
Yeah, but yesterday I pulled off 140 bugs off this machine, and I just cleaned it 3 days ago.
Well, the other major thing, especially on kids' computers, is Kazaa, LimeWire, Morpheus. Oh. All of the music-stealing sites quite often will have spyware and Trojans.
Tons.
A new virus will claim to be the hot new song, so everyone downloads it and infects themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Lots of problems out there now.
Yep. Lots of problems.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, one of the things with the music on the internet is a typical song is 2 or 3 megs.
Right.
So if the file isn't that big, it cannot be a song, or they didn't finish uploading it, because that's one of the big problems on the peer networks anyway. So if you're downloading a 100K file, it's not a song.
Yeah, and you know, I have to say, what you do in the privacy of your computer is your business, but downloading music is illegal. Whether you like it or not, it's illegal. So when somebody,
unless the band specifically says you can do it on their own website.
Right. So when somebody says to me, oh, I got a virus from Kazaa, I pretty much just shrug. You did something illegal. You got your hand slapped.
I like
get
it.
Over it.
No, I like it.
You love it because it's
yeah.
Hello,
I exactly. Clean them on out.
Exactly, but you know, it's you do something illegal and you get your hand slapped. Really, the best thing to do is to just laugh and move on because it's your own dang fault. We're gonna take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Ben Turchin, me, Nick Francesco, all of you on Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
When news. Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray. And I'm Ben Turchin.
And we're back with Sound Bites. Before we get back to the phones, I'm going to quickly talk a little bit about our poll. We do a poll every week. This week's poll is about the real iPod problem. You heard that at the top of the hour when Steve was talking about it in the news.
I'm confused about the poll, though.
Yeah, I know. You and everybody else. Let me at least tell you what the poll is.
Okay.
The deal here is that Real has sort of hacked or reverse engineered, or whatever you want to call it, Apple's iPod system so that they can run their music store and their music on an iPod.
Specifically, the digital rights management. Apple uses FairPlay.
No, I wasn't there yet.
Okay.
So they can run their stuff on it. And to do that, they kind of bypassed Apple's digital rights management stuff with their own.
Which is Microsoft-based.
Right. And so what Apple is saying is that constitutes an illegal hack into the system. And what Real is saying is that's basically a fair use kind of, we just want to make music available for everybody. Because it's peace and love and everything else. So the question is, do you think Real's iPod hack, if you want to call it a hack, is legal? And there's three choices. Heck yeah, no way, and huh. Unfortunately, it seems like there's six choices here in the poll. Heck, no way, yeah, heck, yeah, no way, and huh, followed by heck, yeah, no way, and huh, I don't know what happened, but there seems to be the choices have been doubled. And it doesn't really matter which you pick. I'll figure out the actual amount later on at the end. Right now we've got 77 votes, and it looks like is actually winning, followed by heck yeah, followed by no way. Followed by no way, followed by
heck yeah. Maybe they thought the top three were for PC users, the bottom three for Mac users.
Then there should be another three for Linux users. Well, you can't plug a Linux box.
Well, one of the things that's interesting is
that... Can you plug an iPad into a Linux box?
Very carefully. If you don't use the DRM. Because there isn't a FairPlay client for Linux. You can run MP3s, you can run AACs, you can run everything but the digital rights management.
You plug it in and it just becomes a big hard disk for you.
No, you can do all your music.
That's what I'm saying, but it appears as a hard drive, and you just copy files to it.
Right. You can't use the iTunes Music Store.
Right.
The thing with Real is they don't have a player of their own.
Right.
But they want everyone to use their store, so it's good business sense for them to make it available into more players. And in fact, they say they support 70 music players.
Right.
On their store.
One of my tips for this week, you know, we throw a lot of around.
Dave puts tips up every week on our website. They're phenomenal tips.
But
you should
I
go read them.
I found one, though, for this week, and if you go to it, you know, you hear us talking about a lot of different file extensions. Well, I found a great site that I put into this new tip that describes every, from A to Z, any file extension you want to know what type of program it's tied to, it's there.
Perfect.
So you're just mentioning, you know, JPEGs, MP3s, Yeti, DLLs, and all this other stuff. If you want to get up on what some of those extensions are, or you don't know what they are, go to my tips, and I've got this week's tips is how to find out what all those extensions mean.
And there are several ways to run iPod under Linux. In fact, one of the sites the a guy that was pushing at the SourceForge, which is the big Unix environment, says he finally bought a Mac, so
yeah,
he's not going to be updating his Linux page anymore.
Oh well, but once you voted in our poll, and so far 77 of you have, please come over to my website. There's a little yellow box underneath the poll. There's a link there to my website, asknick.com.
That's
asknick.com, and you will be able to put your opinion. And number 15, you're right. That's what it is. It's not that I messed up the poll. The poll has redundancy. Thank you. Thank you, number 15. The poll has redundancy. It's a good thing. So that's the kind of stuff you can find on our website. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of other stuff you can find on our website, too.
I think it was just due to a certain individual having to get up at old dark 30.
Oh, man, ain't that the truth.
But you did a very good job.
You probably just pushed a bit twice.
Well, yeah, I don't know quite what I did, but what happened was yesterday I got up at, 4:15 a.m., and then, of course, I updated the poll about 11:30 last night, and then I was up later than that, so I didn't even notice there was a problem with the poll until this morning, at which point I was on my way to the public market to the Flower City Coffee Company to sell coffee. So it's going to stay that way, and it's just going to be one of those historical,
unique,
interesting things. It's unique. It's redundant. It's redundant. And it's redundant, which in itself is...
So tertiary redundancy.
So we're going to... that's what you get at our website. And please, go to the website and do the other things. There's forums. The forums are great. Some of the best stuff at Soundbites happens in the forums. You owe it to yourself to go play with the great people in our forums. In addition, of course, we've got the movie posters and the saga from our incredibly prolific and totally crazy people. So please do that, soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. We'll be back with your calls after these phenomenal commercial messages with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Ben Turchin, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
If you win...
50,000 watts. Huh. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Ben Turchin.
And this is Soundbites. We're back to the phones, and we're talking to Mike from Ontario. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
I got a question about Windows 2000.
Yep.
My son had a
had a machine he had up at school for a couple of years, and he got a new one, and we're working on putting this thing together for his sister, who's headed off to college in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So he suggested I wipe out the installation and start over. So I did that, and I went when I deleted the partition that Windows went in, reformatted it NTFS, and started to install. And it got halfway through the hardware detection phase,
mm-hmm.
and it dies. It comes up hardware malfunction, contact system manufacturer, system is halted. And the funny thing is that I've tried a number of things. I went to the Microsoft support site, looked up and tried a few things they had there. Nothing seemed to help, like, you know, taking out everything in the system that isn't essential to boot it.
Right.
And shutting off plug-and-play options, things like that in the BIOS.
This had 2000 on it originally, and you're reinstalling 2000?
It had 2000 on it originally, yeah.
So theoretically, it should have met the hardware requirements.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, though, I can put Windows NT on it, and it comes up just fine, installs, and everything runs just great. But what? I can't send her off to school with NT because it doesn't have USB support.
Why don't you put Windows XP on it instead?
Money, I guess.
Yeah,
but
use what you already have and going out and buy something new.
But the thing that is a lot of the other stuff, you know, is already supported very well in XP. I know it's a few bucks more, but since you've already got the Windows 2000,
yeah,
you could go ahead and get the cheaper version of XP, or professional, just get the upgrade version. In other words, so now when you go to do the clean install, you know, the install,
right,
you put in the XP professional upgrade.
All right, well, that was my last option.
I mean, because 2000, she's more or less got to be her own system administrator.
Yeah, but it was on before. It should go on again.
Yeah, right. I don't understand
what's
going on.
Unless there's a bad checker in the hard drive. System.
Yeah, maybe there was extra hardware that isn't compatible.
Like a new video card, for example.
Or a BIOS update that requires a newer 2000 install disk.
Right.
Yeah, does
maybe.
Over the last, 2 years, 3 years?
Yeah, what service pack is built into your 2000 install disk?
I think SP3.
Now, you might have loaded something in the computer that needs 4 first before
a
the
hardware
computer
device
will even
that run. Doesn't work under 3.
Yeah, but I pulled everything else out. I pulled the network adapter out. I had to leave the video card in.
Right. In the last 3 years, did your son do any BIOS updates?
I don't think so. I think it's got like a 2001 BIOS in it.
Well, maybe it needs one then.
You're right.
Grasping at straws here, yeah. It used to, that's one of the most annoying problems. It used to work, I didn't change anything, and it doesn't work anymore.
Right.
Well, but don't forget, when they install 2000 in a new machine, no manufacturer does it from the CD. They have
a master
that they've created.
In fact,
then
they don't even do it in the computer. They mass stamp hard drives.
Right. Yeah. And then they just stick the hard drive in the machine. So maybe it'll run in that machine but won't install on that machine. So yeah, I think at this point, the easiest thing to do, although it's not cheap, is to go do XP. And one of the things you could do is check with either your son or your daughter's school. Many of them offer much more inexpensive versions of XP and Office and everything else,
academic.
Student versions or academic versions, which are perfectly legal to purchase and will cost you hundreds less.
Uh-huh.
And when you stop being a student, you're supposed to remove them.
Right, but your daughter is going to stop being a student for a long time.
Yeah.
So that may be, I think, at this point. How fast is this machine?
It's a 933 Pentium 3.
Yeah, how much RAM?
256 meg.
See, that'll be fine. I suggest more RAM, but that certainly will be fine, and she'll get a better experience out of it. And, by the way, when she goes to school, a lot of places will support XP, but support for 2000 is going to run out.
Yeah. Okay.
So in the long run, I hate to say it, but I think you're better off.
All right.
Sorry.
Thanks a bunch.
Sure. And that's true of anybody, by the way. If you're a student... check with your school. You can probably buy less expensive software. We're going to take another quick break. No, we're done.
No, we're back, and then the game's at
1:20. Man, nobody tells me anything anymore. I'm seeing colors I haven't seen since the 60s. I'm so tired right now. I don't have any idea what I'm doing. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright.
We're doing the news,
Steve Ray, Ben Turchin, the big white bunny in the corner, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you after the news on Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Ben Turchin.
And this is Sound Bites. Our next caller, Ben, from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Ben. What's your question?
Guys, I have a Mac G4 laptop, and I have iPhoto. And for some reason, the first thing that's ever gone wrong with this thing in over a year, I can't load iPhoto. How can I straighten it out?
Well, the first thing to try is delete the iPhoto preference file in user library preferences.
Okay.
And if that doesn't work, you can move your iPhoto.
Am I going to lose all my photos?
Not yet.
Okay. Yeah. Like 800.
But keep listening.
Yeah, but keep listening, yeah. The next step would be to move your photos, your photo library, out of your pictures folder. And then iPhoto will launch as if it was brand new. And you can import your photos into the now new library.
So first delete the preferences and see if that fixes it.
Right.
If not, then move the...
Right, move the library out.
The library.
When you launch the program, it'll say, I can't find your library. Do you want to make a new one?
Well, you know, when I click on iPhoto, I get a message saying contact. You have a problem. I can't...
Submit a bug report. Statement when a program crashes. Try deleting the preference file if it's just...
Where's the preference file? How do you...
User library preferences.
Okay.
And it's let me see if I can
go into your hard drive and look in the user folder.
Your user folder, then the library folder, then the preferences folder. It's probably called com.apple.iphoto.plist. I'm looking for my copy here. If it's just a corrupt preference file, then the preferences are basically your default slideshow music, you know, your default window size, things like that that don't really matter to the functioning of the program.
Mm-hmm.
com.apple.iphoto.plist.
I only use it with a Kodak camera, you know, EasyShare. Mm-hmm. It was just downloading, and somehow it got screwed up.
Yeah, sometimes it can do that. Is it iPhoto 3 or iPhoto 4?
I recently went to a friend's house with a Roadrunner and downloaded all the updates.
Well, you can't download 4. You have to purchase 4.
Oh, okay.
And the big difference between 3 and 4 is that 3 kind of has trouble when you get to 1,000 photos. 4 can handle 25,000 photos and more. So that might be an investment for you if you're dealing with that many
photos.
I
don't know. It's like every time, like if I go in CompUSA or something, I bought Panther.
Mm-hmm.
That supposedly is... cool. And then Panther screwed up. I contacted Mac, and they over online they straightened it out for me.
Mm-hmm.
Something with I don't know. You know, it's like everybody offers all these cool items.
Every time you add something new, you run the risk of compatibility with something you've already got.
See, I'm not the brightest light in the Christmas tree. I just want to use the Yeah.
Well, running those updates is a good thing to be able to do. And unfortunately, a lot of them are so big that it doesn't work on dial-up. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to.
So every month or so, go to your friend's house and plug into the Roadrunner.
I'm trying to put a USB port in my Brownie Hawkeye and see how that'll work.
There you go. Now we're talking. All right. Thanks, Ben.
Yep.
Good luck. Our next caller, Steve from Brockport, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
I recently purchased the capture card for my Windows XP computer, and it was working for several hours. Then I rebooted, and none of my capture software would recognize it.
Have you looked for any updates for that capture card from the web to for Windows XP?
Yes, there are, and I ran them.
And this card says it works with XP?
No, it was pre-XP.
But the driver updates say they work with XP.
Yes, they do.
Okay, that should work, but now it's not being found at all.
It's being recognized as a video card, but not as a video capture card.
And the capture software, therefore, doesn't see it.
Yeah.
If you go into the device manager, do you see, does it show there's a problem with it?
No, it does not.
It looks fine.
Yeah.
I'd try removing it from device manager and letting it redetect.
Yeah.
I have done that.
How about physically removing it from the computer?
Haven't tried that yet.
Yeah, that's sort of the next step.
Or put it in another slot.
Yeah, physically remove it from the computer, put it in a new slot to force it to redetect.
But there's the problem, that's my only AGP slot.
Oh.
Right, but I would
it's an AGP card. Oh, yeah, so you're going to have to shut down, remove that card, put your old card in and boot so it knows the old card's there.
And then
shut down, take the old card out, put the new card in so it says, oh, here's the new card again.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would suggest trying that.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I realize that that's a pain in the neck, but
it's the way it goes.
It's the way it goes. And I would who makes that particular card?
NVIDIA.
Oh, in what model?
The MX.
The MX. 400?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Need to know.
Well, what I'm thinking is you really need to look around on the net and see if other people are having the same problem. It may simply be that that card, since it does predate XP, simply may not work well with it, although that's unlikely, since XP and NVIDIA work very well
together.
But
there's other variants, too. I mean, they can sit there and say, depending on the BIOS and the chips and the motherboard, I mean, there's a lot of
factors. That's the other big thing to do is to look for an update for your BIOS.
There's a lot of factors in there. You know, I mean, he might want to check out for a BIOS update because for a patch for the onboard AGP slot.
Yep.
Okay.
Try those things, Steve.
Okay, I will.
Sorry. But when it's a hardware problem, that's how it works. You try this, you try that, you try the next thing.
Yeah,
we know where the problem is. We just don't quite know what the fix is going to be at
that
point.
There's so many other things that are a factor in that, like in his case.
Right.
You know, too many things.
Well, folks, we are done for another week. We will be back next week, I believe, at the regular time. And we'll have a full show, although we certainly got through quite a bit of calls today. We'll be back next Saturday with Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I don't know if we'll have Ben or Rob.
Rob will be back.
Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen.
And he better come with some, you know, he owes us some cookies.
He owes us cookies. We'll see you next week on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.